third speaker is someone I've had the privilege to know for almost three decades, and he is someone who exemplifies the proper way of solving the problems we're trying to traverse here. He is indeed a conservative. He has had a very distinguished career in journalism and has assumed recently his new position as the deputy editor-in-chief of the Reader's Digest, in which capacity he is in charge of the day-to-day operations, editorial operations of the magazine worldwide. Prior to that, way back in his career, he worked at Human Events. He then worked for the Richmond Times-Dispatch in Virginia. Went to work for the Reader's Digest in 1968, where he was a correspondent in Vietnam and was co-author of a very fine book about the prisoners of war there. He has served in the Digest editorial offices in Europe, covering events there and in Africa and in the Middle East. With that background, in 1982, President Reagan named him director of the Voice of America, where he did a very fine job indeed for the next 2 years. And in 1984, he returned to the Reader's Digest as its managing editor. 1985, he became executive editor, and this year he assumed his position as deputy editor-in-chief, so you can see he has a very distinguished vita indeed. From my standpoint, I guess the crowning achievement of his career occurred in 1975, when he moved off of Capitol Hill and allowed me to inherit his rent-controlled apartment.
Remarks that have gone before me, and then we'll get down to some questions and answers. I do hope we go back and forth a bit on some issues involved with the audience. When I was a young reporter at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, we told a story about a couple of reporters covering a fire on the Richmond waterfront. The fire was inching close to some petroleum storage facilities, and one reporter turned to the other and said, "I'm going to get back on the other side of the hill." And the first reporter said, "Why are you going on the other side of the hill? The story's right here at the fire." And he said, "Well, somebody better be on the other side of the hill and phone the story in after this thing blows." Conservatives traditionally have taken the position that it's better to be on the other side of the hill to report or to call in the story after the thing blows. And this is, as Stan has noted, John's unnoted, has sometimes been a point of difficulty for us in the final product. Our brethren frequently do not become reporters as much as they should. There are, of course, real notable exceptions, and people like John Fund, as Jim Wright can attest today, bring reporting skills to editorials. And when I was learning about reporting with Stan Evans, he was in Indianapolis, he was doing the same thing. Warren Brooks, of course, has taken column writing to a high art of reporting, the best reporting in this country is contained inside Warren Brooks' columns. You don't have to be in the newsroom to be doing God's work. There's, of course, the other side of the coin, which it's been the impression of many of my friends, that there have been signs in newsrooms across America, in effect, say conservatives need not apply here. On the one hand, the top political aides and former aides of Teddy Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, Pat Moynihan, can rise to the hierarchy of American media outlets, but let Pat Corbin try to find a job after his service in the Reagan administration. That's another story. This, of course, does not mean that we should give up. The old theme of the Maryland lottery, you got to play to win, certainly applies here, and I think that the state of play is frankly, I think, in and around the National Journalism Center. I think supporters of the, center in every sense, because to me it's where the action is. And the first line of defense is Boston University, but the ultimate defense, I think, is taking kids from different backgrounds, different academic backgrounds, and throwing them into reporting situations the way Stan does. Now, of course, in the grand tradition of journalism, we check our guns at the entrance when we step into the journalism arena, and that's fine. I used to say it in Voice of America when we had some rather spirited debates with people in our newsroom. Seems to be that when the liberals tried to fix the news and the Voice of America, people knowingly in the newsroom said, yes, that's lovemaking. When conservatives tried to do it, they called it right. That's supposed to be the joke. Stan, it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
It's top room.
It's a top room. John Solomon didn't have his trouble last night. I think that in the past, during that 3-decade-plus period of Stan, when we were browsing around Capitol Hill, I think that there were certain barriers to conservatives in journalism that do not exist today. The 50s conservative, with a certain notable exception that was favored, frequently came from money privileged backgrounds, and of course we all know that journalism attracts kids from the streets, kids who see this as a step up in this way it's always been, but that's why this should be fertile ground today, because the right thinking people today do come from solid working American backgrounds. Another reason why it's so important to try to attract people with our general point of view to the business of journalism is even when we check our guns at the door, and I believe in that passionately, we bring certain common sense attitudes toward the issues of the day. Look at the issue of crime alone. Reader's Digest published Getting Away with Murder, the really important story, not because we're doing a story about Michael Dukakis, he just got in the way. Purpose was to spotlight, as we've been doing through the years, one of the most important, one of the most forgotten issues of America, and that is crime. It's no accident, though, that you have to go to a publication like Reader's Digest to see crime reported in this country. The question I would like to throw out to begin the discussion here, I wonder why it is. Why is it today that Gannett seems to be the norm for newspapers in America, the approaching norm? What happened to this spirited period that John Fudden made reference to? Why are people in advertising? Why are the people who come from the conventional business of newspapers pushing us toward a bland center-leftist position? How do you respond to that?
Well, I uh,